Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We have been studying faith for angelic participation. We see here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Are they, still talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, because the Bible was not written in chapter and verse, so it's one complete thought, one continuous thought. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Talking about the salvation and the deliverance that comes to us by way of the angels, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. Amen. Now, we'll do a brief review and then get into the flow of the lesson for today. Now, the inspiration from the lesson came when I talked to, when I was preaching for Pastor Chad Rowe earlier this year. First week of the year, I always preach with Pastor Chad Rowe, and I was preaching for him, and before he introduced me, his wife got up, and he and his wife got up, the whole family got up, talked about how they loved us and appreciated us, and then she brought to mind, recalled the time when we were on our jet. You've heard me testify about it many times. I'll continue to testify, because I told the devil that night I was going to tell everybody what he tried to do. Tried to kill the brother, amen. So we're at 43,000 feet plane. I went into, both engines went off, total electrical failure, plane falling out the sky, and they were with us. They didn't panic. Her and her daughter was with us along with Terry and Tina, and the plane, you know, we look in the cockpit. They had flashlights trying to do what they supposed to do, and it was a very, very challenging moment. Challenging moment because, what you never want to see happen. You know, when, you know, if you ever been on a plane, they tell you about the oxygen mask is going to fall. Yeah. Oxygen masses was falling. And, the plane was, decompressing and all that sort of thing. So all the, we didn't know at that time, but all the potato chips bags were popping and exploding. So you can hear, it's night now, it's dark. Mm-hmm. And all you hear is pop, 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 pop. You don't know what's going on, you understand? You know, but in this moment, I deliberately began to call for my angels.
Right.
She began,
right.
She says, I had amazed her that I called on my angels. So, you know, she said she didn't know what to say, so she just, whatever I said, that's what she said. Right. Well, that's because I have a revelation on angels.
Yeah.
So the Lord told me, last year, he said, I want you to begin to teach faith like you learned faith. And so that's what I'm doing now. I'm committed to teaching things of faith like I learned faith because it's going to help you. Amen? And so we've had several encounters with angels. I'm not the only one. Amen? But I have several encounters. I got called to preach. An angel spoke to me. As a little boy, 9 years old, angel told me I should preach the gospel. I remember one day, when we had our first jet, and we were having a pressure problem with the jet. And so we flew it to Kansas, wasn't it? Kansas City? I think it was Kansas City we flew it to. We flew it under 13,000 feet. That way we didn't have to pressurize the cabin. And we flew it there to the manufacturer to work on it. And we went early in the day because I had a place to preach that night. Okay. Well, man, they put all kind of machines on there. And the way the thing was set up, we had the waiting room was upstairs, had a window where you could see down where in the mechanic shop where they were working on the aircraft. And, man, they were working on it. I mean, hour after hour went by, and then it started getting tight because now If I don't get out of here, I can't get to go preach where I need to preach. And so I got a witness from the Spirit of God to go down there and talk to the mechanic. So I talked to the mechanic. I said, hey, man, do you believe in God? Yeah, I do. I said, well, I'm going to pray for the angels to help you.
Come on.
Yeah.
Help you find. Because they couldn't find. They couldn't pinpoint what was happening. I said, because I got to go preach. I said, I just need you just get in agreement with me. Yeah, agree. Agree. Well, I agree we'd get this thing fixed. I agree. So I laid my hands on it, and I called, and I asked God to help. I asked God to send angels to fix this thing. I got to go preach the gospel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I go back upstairs, and I'm in the waiting lounge. I look back down there. The plane is surrounded by mechanics.
Wow.
Surrounded by mechanics. And so I go back down, and they go, and they said, something happened. We can't get it to fail anymore. We can't get it to fail. And so they kept running tests and running tests. We can't get it to fail. And they doing everything they could to get it to fail because the guy hadn't done anything to it.
Right.
So I say, man, my angels done fixed this plane. So y'all going to button it up so I can get on out of here. I got to go preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Lady B, you remember that? Ma'am, Destin and Ronald was with us, ma'am. Amen. Yeah. So angels are real. I want out of this whole meeting for you to get an appreciation that the Bible says angels are encamped around about you to help you. Amen. We was talking at lunch, I think, today, and breakfast with one, Pastor Leach, was saying how he was going through a situation to purchase some land, and things were not going so well, and they had a service that night. I think they had a service at night, and there was a new guy sitting there. A guy came in, a Caucasian guy, and you've never seen this guy before. And so the guy raised his hand, saying that he had a word. And so he said, normally, you know, new people, you don't know who they are. You don't let them have a flow. But he got a witness from the Spirit of God to let him talk. And the guy spoke and said, your prayers have been answered. You can get the land or something like that. And then he turned around and walked out. So he walked out the door. And Pastor Leach says, I sent somebody to go get him. And when they went out the door, he was gone. No car. They couldn't find him anywhere. Everybody say, sounds like an angel to me. Hallelujah. Now, so we're not going to get spooky. We're going to be in faith.
Yeah.
Be in faith that what the Word of God says is real.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And our angels are here to help us. Amen. All right. Now, so we said that it is the will of God for us to live prosperous lives. The Bible says that the angels are here to do the pleasure of God, and it pleases God that we prosper. So angels are involved in our prosperity. We also said that our confidence is in God's ability, his ability to do work, and the ability of the angels to carry out the will of God. Everybody say, he's still reviewing. We then began to talk about how the angels are commissioned. And we said that some of the commissioning is based on providence. When the Lord wants to do something, he'll commission angels to come to bring messages, bring judgment, that sort of thing. Then we see we have a part. Some of it is initiated by us simply because the angels respond to the voice of his word. Go with the Bibles to Psalms 103. They respond to the voice of his word. So when we give voice to the word of God, then the angels hear that and they get their orders. Amen. All right. Now, verse 20. Bless ye the Lord, all ye, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. So we found out they are mighty. Amen. We erase the whole idea that has been communicated to us on Valentine's Day. Little fat naked babies with bow and arrows. Or at Christmas time, ladies with blonde hair and long choir robes. None of that lines up with the with the Bible. Amen. So they excel in strength. And listen what the scripture says. They excel in strength. That do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So we found out when I'm praying, because Jesus said, I can pray for my Father, and he will send me 12 legions of angels. When they were there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter cut off the guy's ear, they thought the master was in trouble and that they had to defend him. And Jesus was simply living out really his purpose. And he says, no, I'm not in trouble, because all I need to do is pray and tell my Father, and he would send the angels. Then on another occasion, Samson's father prayed and asked God to send an angel to give him instructions on how to raise Samson, all right? See it's through my prayers, it's through providence, and it's also through proclamations. Everybody say proclamations. Yeah, what I'm saying continuously out of my mouth. Well, we got a greater appreciation for angels on last night because we found out that they are alert. We found out that they are swift, and they move swiftly. So we understand that they're mighty, they're strong. We got a great appreciation for them. And tonight, amen, tonight we're going to move on into understanding how to have disciplined faith. Everybody say disciplined faith. Yeah, that's required for angelic participation, because you can know all of this and then in a crisis moment throw it all away and panic. Everybody say don't panic. All right, go with the Bible now. Let's look at another passage I want you to see. While we're in Psalms 91, because we have an amazing promise from the Word of God, and that's why we don't have to get spooky, because we have an outline of everything from the Word of God. And so there in Psalms 91, it says, we'll start there, verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because, watch this now, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. We say, well that means if plague comes nigh my dwelling, what does that mean? That means you need to stand on your promise. Yeah. Yeah. It has no legitimate legal right to be around your dwelling. You have a right to resist it because you're dwelling, you're fellowshipping, you're in the secret place. So anything that happens while you're in the secret place that's not in the Word of God, it's not yours. So that sickness is not yours. So quit saying my diabetes. Amen. 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 So you saying this is mine, so the angels, I guess you want it. Remember, because they think whenever you say something, that's what you want. Right. And remember, and we'll read it in a minute, but it says you can provoke your angel. Right. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, watch this. It says, all right, he shall give his angels charge over thee, all right, to keep thee in all thy ways, wherever I am, all right? They shall bear thee up. Now, that's the scripture I'm standing on when my plane falling. They're going to bear me up in their hands. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Lest thy plane crash.
Come on. That's good. Yeah. Come on.
Uh-huh. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Alias names for the devil. I'm supposed to win.
Yeah.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I got to get delivered that night. I'm going to get delivered. I told the devil I'm not dying tonight.
Yeah.
Well, it's not me being arrogant. It's just me knowing the word.
Yeah.
All right? All right? It says, I'll set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I understood God's right there with me.
Yeah.
I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Yeah.
And I told the devil that night, I ain't dying because I ain't satisfied yet.
Right.
Yeah. I want to get you to see, this is not just some stuff I pull out the air. I'm standing on the word.
Yes, sir. Come on, Dad. Yes,
sir. I'm standing fully on the word of God. Amen. Now, so I understand because of this, everybody say he must confirm
his word
with signs following. All right, now, go to Luke chapter 22. This is another thing I just want to touch on that I have an expectation of. that he will strengthen me. Everybody say, he'll strengthen me. Yeah, he'll strengthen me. Why? Because he strengthened Jesus. All right? When I align myself properly, I can expect certain things to occur and to happen in my life. So Jesus is in the garden, and of course, his flesh is giving him all kind of trouble. And so he says, let the cup pass. And then verse 42, he says, I'll start at verse 42, saying, Father, if I be willing, remove this cup from me. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, doing what?
Strengthening
him. Amen. Encouraging him. Letting him know he could go, he could make it through. Yes. Infusing his spirit with strength.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's good. Amen. And on more than one occasion, you can find in the Bible where an angel was strengthening the person. Amen and amen. Now, go with me now. Everybody say he's still reviewing. All right. Go to Exodus chapter 23 because I'm getting ready to flow in this, and I want everybody to be with me so you understand where we are and where we're going to be going tonight. Because this confidence is not something that happens because somebody lays hands on you. This confidence is a result of saturation. Everybody say saturation. Yeah, it's a matter of saturation. It didn't happen because, you know, I'm saved. Because the promises of God are received by faith. So the promise of angelic participation is received by
faith.
By faith. Amen. Got a good class tonight. Now, verse 20 says, behold, I will send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. In other words, to fulfill your purpose, to do what I told you to do, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon thy transgressions. For my name is in him. Everybody say, don't provoke him. Verse 22 says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. So I'm understanding something about an angel now. Angel is sent on assignment. They're ready to do the assignment. And we found out there's some things that can provoke the angel. What provokes the angel is when my words are not in agreement with God's word. When I murmur and complain, that provokes the angel. So we said we're going to stay away from that because we don't want to provoke the angel. We don't want to have negative talk and negative words and unbelief and disobedience. All of that provokes the angel and limits the angels from what they can do for us. Amen. Now, so that means my words are important. My words are vitally important. And the thing that can turn off my angel quicker than anything are my words. Amen. All right, didn't get a good amen on that one. Proverbs chapter 18. We know this, we hear this, and yet I continue to hear believers, even in leadership, I'm talking about preachers, violate this with their mouths. Amen. Verse 20 says, a man's belly. And we're talking about belly. It's not talking about his stomach. It is talking about his spirit. So it says now, a man's spirit shall be satisfied with the fruit of his fruit of his mouth. So it says, listen, what it's saying in essence is my spirit, all right, the scripture says a man's belly is satisfied with his mouth. So what the angel thinks is I want what I'm saying, all right? And with the increase of his lips shall it be filled. So this principle says whatever I say continuously, that's what I'm going to have. My life's going to be filled with what I say. It's going to be filled with what I say. So you got to take inventory on what you say. And it's not enough just to come to church. You got to take this, and man, I hear people, there can obviously be no conviction because of what they say. Got it? Y'all about to wear me to death. Really? I say, I stop people and say, I just love them. I just love you to death. No, don't love me to death.
Right.
You love me to life, but don't love me to death.
Right.
Oh, that don't matter. Yes, it does matter.
Yeah.
See, you don't think it matter, but it does matter. I'm not going to set myself in agreement with you loving me to death.
Right. 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 Does matter.
Well, I've been so conditioned. See, people are so conditioned. You see, they think you're extreme when you do that. Yeah, I'm radical. This is a part of being radical. It's part of being radical that I'm not going to set myself in agreement with the negatives that are around me. Remember I told you the prophetic word was God says, tell the folk to quit agreeing with the darkness.
Right.
Amen. Now, see, to do this, it doesn't cost you anything but some discipline.
Yes, sir.
Everybody say discipline.
Yes, sir.
Now, discipline is enforced obedience. Which means I don't have to like it. But since I want the fruit of it, the benefit, I'm going to put pressure on my mouth. My thing is, and like years ago, I said, what do I have to lose? I can do this. I've been doing it the other way, and look what I got. Amen. So you're going to have to learn to check yourself. Everybody says, time to check ourselves. All right, verse 21, which is very familiar. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So now we begin to understand the power of our words. Go to John 6:63. Our words are more than sound. Our words are spirit life. Everybody say spirit life. Yes, our words contain spirit life. And that's why once you get this revelation, there's certain things you're just not going to say. Amen. Because when I begin to believe, I will have what I say. I will watch what I say because some things I don't want to have. All right, verse 63 says, it is a spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Everybody say spirit life. Spirit life. So I got there's an understanding that I have to have. Now, here are my points for tonight, if I can get there. I just got through the introduction. Point number one is going to be the scripture revelation on the divine perspective. Learning to look at things from God's perspective.
Okay.
You have been conditioned to look at things from a natural perspective, a flesh perspective. But in order to live the God kind of life, to live above the circumstances, you're going to have and to not panic. When things are not going well, you have to have a grasp on God's perspective, divine perspective. Secondly, we'll get to the spiritual resolve for disciplined proclamation. In other words, what you're going to have to be anchored so you can change your mouth, keep your angels working, keep stuff, good stuff happening in your life. Then, if we're good class, and I hope we are, we're going to talk about... we're going to talk about the systematic response to devastating positions.
Okay.
That when you get in a devastating position, what is your systematic response? In other words, I want to feel this. Got it?
Yeah.
See, plane fall, I don't feel like doing no confession.
Right. Okay. Oh, see that.
I don't feel like that. I don't feel like calling no angels, but I know if I don't call them,
right.
I'm going to be on the front page. Everybody say systematic. And so you've got to have a systematic thing that you are going to do when trouble comes. No matter how devastating it is, you're going to have a system that you switch over to. Because this is what I do in emergency. This is what I do in times of challenge. When the money don't come in and you don't have the money you need, you don't throw your hand. That tithing don't work. Oh, come on now. You frustrate the angel. And we found out yesterday that there are other angels who's listening. So I gotta understand. There's a systematic way I must develop. You follow me? That in difficult times, devastating times, this is what I do. And I do it until things change because they will change. All right, now, let's see if we can start. Now, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, talking about God's perspective, the divine perspective. Colossians chapter 1, amen. Now, some of my veteran saints, you're going to have to bear with me because you already know this, you've heard me, but don't take it for granted. But my young saints got to get this too.
Right.
I'm raising up a whole nother generation of faith people, amen. So I got to bring them through the foundation as well. Terry, I need y'all to get ready. What, Terry, y'all? All right, watch this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Watch this now. Visible and invisible. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, this tells me that there were things that are created that I can see, things that are created that I cannot see. So here's talking about the existence of two realms, a visible realm and an invisible realm. Y'all come on and get set up, all right? Yeah, come on, get set up. Yeah, visible realm and an invisible realm. Yeah, about the top row. Or the, yeah, right there now. Yeah, right there. Give me a little room. Yeah, right there. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, y'all know y'all got to be even. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So now, there's a world that was created that I can see, visible. But there are also things that were created that I cannot see, invisible. All right? Now, y'all got to quit moving now. Y'all bother me now. Y'all come on, wait. Now, just because something is unseen does not mean that it does not exist. You follow me? Just because I cannot see something doesn't mean that it does not exist. So go with me now to my next scripture, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. I must understand these two realms do exist. All right, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in where? Heavenly places. Or the heavenly realm is the invisible realm, is the spirit realm. So it says, I've already been blessed. Hunch the person next to you. You got to get this. This is a revelational change how you look at everything. It says, I have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Everything first, before it becomes natural, is spiritual. And it says, I have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings, but they are over here in the unseen arena. But just because I can't see them doesn't mean that it don't exist. All right, watch this now. So there are things that exist in this invisible realm that I cannot see. Amen. It's inhabited by spirit beings. Everybody say spirit beings. Yeah, it's inhabited by the raw material of everything that I need, that I would need on this side. The raw material. Amen. Now, go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. So now God has this perspective. He's able to look at both realms at the same time. He sees the visible, the natural realm, and he sees the invisible. And he's at the same time. He looks at both of them. And both of them are real to him. All right? Now, when I get born again, And I'm reading the Bible, now I get a chance to stand in the same position God is in. I'm able by in the natural to see the natural realm, but now I get an opportunity to look over here in the spirit realm. That's why I understand there are angels and there are demons and there's God, but now also know there are things.
Right.
Because I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, but where are they first? In the heavenly place. Amen. Now, we need to know something about the order of God. Amen. Are you there in Isaiah? Isaiah, what did I tell you? 42. Isaiah 42, and let's look in verse 10. Isaiah 42 and verse 10. Okay. That is not my scripture. Oh, where is my scripture? I got to find my scripture. The scriptures I'm looking for, Bridge, you might need to help me, is that he sees the end from the beginning. 46? Okay. My notes need to be. Yeah, that's it. There you go. All right. That's it. All right. Verse 9, 4 to 6, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. Everybody say the end from the beginning. All right, now here's why that's important, is because God never starts anything until he's finished with it. Doesn't start it before he's finished. So he always knows the end from the beginning. So that means nothing catches him by surprise. Amen? Now, he sees both realms at the same time, and he wants you to see both realms at the same time, and he finishes everything before he gets started. Amen? So nothing catches him by surprise. Amen? Now, in Genesis chapter 1, I wasn't going to go there, but I think I do. I think it always kind of helps solidify this, gives an illustration of how God does and how he works. Genesis chapter 1, there in verse 26. Verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. It goes on and on. Now, look at chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed, man of the dust of the ground, breathed into the nostrils, breath. Well, see, now that almost looked like a contradiction, because God is talking to somebody over here in chapter 1. But he doesn't create and make the man, the physical man, until chapter 2. Because it's really illustrating the order of God. That everything first starts spiritually. So over that in chapter 1, he's speaking, watch this now, when he says, let us make man, he's talking about mankind. And he's talking to every creature, every man that would ever walk the earth is created in the spirit realm and was created in the spirit realm right there. Some of y'all don't believe it. No, serious. See, you didn't start to exist when your mom and daddy came together. That's just part of the process that caused the transfer. Jeremiah said this, God told him, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. Well, how did he know me? He knew me over here. So when you read that by him talking about have dominion, he's talking to you. You were in a spirit form. He was talking to you. Amen. All right, now watch this. With that being said, now, let's see if we can't rehearse this. God looks at both realms at the same time. Everything I will ever need is already over here. All right? And what God does, he first starts something spiritually, and then it becomes natural. Amen. All right, now with that thought, now some other things are going to be able to make sense to us. So when he tells us in Romans chapter 4, we call things that be not as though they were. We're not stupid.
Right.
We're not lying. Because I'm calling things that be not over here, because they are. Because see, now I know how God operates. Are you ready? All right, now. So then, I understand a lot of things now. Let's go now to another passage, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Your healing already exists. Your money already exists. It's just in a spirit form right now. And he's equipped you with faith so that you make the transfer. All right, watch this. There in verse 14. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything, watch this, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know, he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we not gonna have. We have the petition we desired in him. How do I know it? Because I No, I have it first over here. See, it's mine first over here. And the way the Lord looks at it, it's just as much mine over here as it is here. Okay, let me see if I can give you another illustration. Your money in the bank is over here. You can't see it. But you still, when you look at the bank statement, you know that's how much money I have. Because even though it's unseen, you still know it's yours. It is that same mentality that you have to have, understanding that every spiritual blessing, every prayer that I pray that's in agreement with the word of God, I am not going to get it. I already... Everybody says it's already mine. Oh. See, I got to talk right. Everybody say, I got to talk right. I got to talk right because my angels are listening to what I say.
Yeah.
They are here listening to what I say. And when I speak according to his word, what do they do now? The Bible says that they respond to his word. They carry out his will. Now, when I talk like that, remember what Jacob saw. He saw angels ascending. Because they got their orders here. And they go and help. And they get it. And then they descend. And he kept seeing them ascending and descending. That's because I keep them busy. I got a whole lot of stuff over here. Yes. So I got to keep them ascending and descending and ascending. Hallelujah. Thank y'all. Y'all can go. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That's good.
So I have to have a spiritual resolve to have discipline in what I say. Everybody say discipline, discipline. Yeah, because go to Mark chapter 11. When we talk about faith, the Bible says, I'm going to have what I say. I have what I say. I got to believe it. And it's going to change how I talk. Be careful because my angels are listening to what I say. They're part of the process. Amen. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, as I began to study, I could see seven ways that we speak. The dynamics of the spoken proclamation, if you're going to take notes on these. See, when a resolve, I talk about a resolve, a spiritual resolve is an act of deliberate faith with a deliberate expectation. In other words, I'm doing something on purpose.
Okay.
All right? I'm doing something. I have a resolve. I'm going to do something on purpose. Everybody say on purpose.
On purpose.
All right, now. But unfortunately, a lot of our speech is not on purpose.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to heaven. Amen. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about how to have quality of life here in the earth.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right? And so God needs your partnership because there are things he wants done, but he has to have man's faith in order to do it.
Yes, sir.
And so in order for that to happen, he needs you to develop the discipline and the resolve to use your faith on purpose.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I got it.
And instead of talking about what you don't have, and complaining about how bad things are. Well, that hadn't helped us for, has it?
No, come on. That's right.
So it's time now to renew our minds.
Right.
Since we can see the process, now we're going to renew our minds because we understand that we are the key.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll have what you say, not what other folks say. Thank
right.
God I don't have what they say.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have what I say because I understand the process. All right, now. All right, let me give these to you. Number one, dynamics of the spoken proclamation is voicing the scripture. That's the highest one. And with these comes always a complementary behavior, a companion behavior. So I'm voicing the scripture, and I'm acting like the word itself.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I'm a doer of the word. Everybody say voicing the scripture. And a doer of the word. All right. Then number two would be what I call the valiant speech. the valiant speaker. Now, the valiant speaker is the person who voices the word but doesn't do the word. Yeah, they talk about, I believe I received, you know, all my needs met, but I ain't tithing. I thank God, I got favor. I got faith. Favor bound toward me. You know, somebody's going out that way, using their power. That sounds good, valiant. But you're not a doer of the word. So that's the height of hypocrisy, which gives a bad witness to the body of Christ. Because you're talking the right talk, but because you're not doing it, there will be no results. So therefore, your witness is void. Hallelujah. All right. Number three would be the vocabulary of silence. Everybody said the vocabulary of silence. Now, this is choosing to be silent, putting a restraint on your mouth while you do the word, because you know if you open your mouth, you might say the wrong thing. No. There comes a time when stuff happens. You just have to shut up. You have to shut your mouth. Don't say nothing because you're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to continue to do what the word says do. I'm going to continue to tithe. Ain't nothing come in yet. I'm going to continue to tithe. I'm going to continue to give. I'm going to continue to confess the word. Ain't nothing happened yet. But listen, there are comments I can't make right now.
Right.
Because I might speak out of my feelings. And so that's why Joshua had them walk around the wall. Silent.
Yeah.
They walked around the wall, silent. Don't say nothing. Why? Because you're going to start talking crazy. You're going to start giving somebody, let me tell you, what's wrong with Joshua? We ain't never seen this happen. We walk around, looking at people on the wall laughing at us. He knew they would talk themselves out of victory.
Right.
And many times to get the victory you need, just keep your mouth shut while you obey the word of God. All right, so number one class was what? Voicing the scripture. Number two was valiant speech. Number three, vocabulary. All right, now look. Number four is what I call the void speaker or the void speech. Now, void speech is like the idle words. The Bible says, go to Matthew chapter 12. They're idle words. Stuff I'm saying that the Bible says, God, Verse 36, but this I say unto you, that every idle word, that's non-working, inoperative word, all right, that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. Now, what does that mean? That means when you could have spent time speaking the word of God, an operative word, you're doing something that's off.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen. And so I got to be careful that I am not replacing operative words with inoperative words.
Yeah. Good.
Now, I won't confuse anybody on this, but many times there are things that become a distraction from the calling on your life or from obeying God.
Okay.
You follow me? And you give those things your attention. You follow me? All right, let's say so. You can talk more about football games than you can the scripture. You are whatever it is. That may not be your hobby, but I mean you know all the players' names and maybe your thing is golf. You have studied golf and you know golf. Now I'm not saying any of the things are bad, but they can become a weight. That's why I don't play chess. Chess is a weight to me. Because I can get so involved in chess. I can play chess in my head. I don't need a board. So I had to give up chess. I wonder if I still got that board anyway. My wife bought me a board. She bought me a beautiful board, you know, computer and everything. I ain't touch it. I don't think I took out the box. I mean, we're talking about regifted. I may have regifted that somebody. I know I couldn't touch it. Because I know me. That's a weight to me.
Right.
So there's some things that are absorbing your time. You have given your attention to him, and that's inoperative stuff coming out your mouth. You've given that more time than you've given the word of God. That's what I'm talking about.
Come on.
Number one class was what? They stay with me. Number two, doubt. Number three, number four, right, watch this. Number five is the victim speaking. Lord Jesus, po-po me. Nothing ever goes my way. Yes, indeed. I got messed over on this job. I got messed over on that job. Yes, indeed. And you the victim. Every time, you're always the victim. That's the murmurer and the complainer. I want no big old church because you know any big old churches, you know, they look over you. Anybody looked over you? But in every situation, you can become the victim. Yeah, the usher set me way over here next to this person. I don't know these people, but they don't know you either. I'm saying you can be the victim. Follow me. You can be the victim. You walk outside. Ain't enough light out there. We need more light. More light. You can put more light out there. I tell you one time. I don't know why I got to walk this far to park my car. You don't say it when you get to the mall. Or when Walmart is full, parking lot full.
Work it out.
See, you provoke your angel when you start murmuring. Number one class, I got ways to go. Number one is what? Giving, that's the highest one. Number two, valiant. Amen. And number three, number four, number five. All right, watch this. Number six is what I call venomous sayings. Venomous. Now, venomous. When you're a venomous speaker, you speak against the word of God, which ushers in fear and unbelief. But venom is poison. You not only poison yourself, but you poison the people around you.
Yeah.
Your children are being poisoned by what you're saying. You speak against the word of God. Ah, that don't work. Everybody say venomous.
Venomous.
Keep that venom to yourself. Because what that venom does is a corrupt communication. And we found out that's going to invite satanic involvement in your life.
Right.
Number one class. Voice of the scripture. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. All right. Number seven is vindictive speaking. That's when you live your life threatening others. Threats. Even though when you make the threats, you have no intent of carrying them out. I will hurt you. You know that? I will kill you. I'm going to get you. I'm trying to tell you, that kind of stuff, those are words that have power.
Right.
And what it does is it invites satanic encroachment, and he gives you strategies to carry it out.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we're looking at the dynamics of spoken proclamations. And what you're saying is falling in these categories. What you really want to be able to master is category number one. Got it? And category number three. Sometimes I'm just going to be quiet.
Right. Hallelujah.
Because what I'm feeling right now, I don't need to say.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling that word right now. I'm not feeling, you know, with his stripes I'm healed. I ain't feeling that right now. But I understand whether I feel it or not, it's true.
Yes. Come on.
And I'm not gonna throw away my faith claiming illness,
right,
claiming sickness and disease,
right,
at any level.
Yeah. My God, that's good.
Well, I just got a mild case. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why you want a mild case?
Right.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, so let's move on. Now, here is the discipline that I need to develop. A resolve. Everybody say resolve.
Resolve.
It's this willingness to do it regardless. Okay. So I have to have this willingness to do it beyond compromising excuses.
Yeah.
In other words, child, I'm too old to be trying to do all of that. That sounds like that name and claiming stuff. And you know, that name and claiming, that stuff gets you in trouble. That's what Jim Jones was doing. Wasn't it Jim Jones doing that? I must do it beyond, I resolve to do this, the discipline to do it, beyond camaraderie exhortation. In other words, I need somebody to hang in there and keep me on point. No, you can do what you want to. Do it if you want to. Because if nobody else will do it, you need to have the resolve, I know it's true, that's why I'm going to do it. Right. So whether other people encourage me or not, that's not the point. And in the early days, we didn't have encouragement.
Yeah.
I didn't have encouragement. I started teaching this years ago. They didn't encourage me. Had to encourage myself. Lady B and I, that's how we become real best friends. Because we had to encourage ourselves. All right? Number one was what? Compromising excuses. Number two, camaraderie exhortation or encouragement. Number three, circumstantial evidence. My resolve, my commitment to do it. The reason I'm going to press. Everybody say press.
Press.
See, the Bible says, Paul says, I press toward the mark. In other words, this requires work.
Right.
But it pays off in tremendous dividends.
Yes.
Everybody say it pays off. See, now when we're talking about work, your grace folk talk about you don't work. Now we're not talking about working to get saved. We're talking about working the word of God to have God's best in your life.
Yes. Yes,
that's what we're talking about. All right? So I have to put forth this disciplined effort.
Right. That's good.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
So whether friends do it, don't matter to me.
Yeah.
Got it? I found this in the Word. That's why I fill you with the Word of God, so you don't have to think this is some idea that I come up with. This is in the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
Because what I wanted to know when I got started was this wasn't some man's idea. I needed to see this in the Word of God. So I thank God for my Baptist training because my Baptist upbringing told me to believe this word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. So beyond excuses, beyond somebody encouraging me, beyond circumstantial evidence, I don't care what it looks like. Because my circumstances can change.
Right. Good.
So the devil works with your circumstances to see if he can draw you out of faith back into the realm of the natural. Because when you get back in the realm of the natural, you cannot experience the supernatural.
Uh-huh.
So don't let circumstances pull you back. Got to learn to laugh at circumstances.
Yeah.
Ain't got no money. I'm still rich.
Right. Yes.
Still rich.
Yeah.
Believe all my needs are met. God's raising up somebody to use their power, their ability, their influence to help me. My angels are making transfer right now. Just keep watching. Just keep watching. Now, that's how. Now, I'm telling you, it is radical. And at first, people are going to look at you like, huh? But it's not yours to try to teach them. What you do is you get the CD and give it to them. You follow me? Now, and if they want it, they can get it. You understand? But you see, you mess up when you try to explain it to everybody.
Right.
See, Bridget and I learned this over 5 years, before we ever opened our mouths to say it to anybody. Because I understood when I had to start talking about it, I had to be convinced. I had to have all my scriptures together.
Right.
And none of my peers have ever challenged me in the Word.
Come on.
Right.
One made the mistake of saying he wanted to. And I laid the ground rules. And midway the conversation, he said, well, no. That's not what we believe. No. We believe the Bible.
Right.
Now, you can't tell me what you just said is in the Bible.
Right.
Then he turned personal, trying to turn Trump on me. Compromising excuses. Camaraderie encouragement. Circumstantial evidence, watch this, or critics' embellishments.
Wow.
Yeah, the critics will say, critics look for one thing to say, one thing, and they will twist it all kind of ways. That's the haters. You can't give voice or ear to the haters.
Yes, sir.
You got it? You can't do that. You follow me? Because they're going to say what they want to say, twist what they want to twist. There was something happened the other day. I was looking online, and when I did the thing about the $52 and they came out hate on me?
Yeah.
Somebody put in there that I apologize. I ain't never apologized. I am never apologized for obeying God.
Right.
No, we not. I never did. I'm going to look now. Who put this in there? Yeah. It's a lie.
Right.
I never apologize.
Right. Yeah.
That's why you can't read every. You can't believe everything you read on right. Online. No. All right. Amen. Everybody say critics' embellishments. Don't bother me. All right. Now go to James chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. What to do now when I'm in a devastating situation? Amen. This is the good part here. Yeah. Because see, I got to already make up my mind. And the only reason I give you my testimony is because if you ever get in a devastating situation, you know, you're going to say, oh, I know what Bishop did, and God did it for Bishop, he's going to do it for me. All right. All right. Now, it doesn't mean that you tempt your angel. And go on a bill, go get, jump on a building, go on the elevator building, go on the top floor and say, I'm going to jump. My angels will bat me up. No, you're going to be a greasy spy and we're going to be burying you. Because you tempted the angel, you tempted the Lord. That's what the angel tried to get Jesus to do. Quoted the word to Jesus, says, just jump off of this. Jesus says, I don't tempt the Lord, my God, I ain't going to do that. So you don't put yourself in harm's way. See, you don't put yourself in harm's way saying, now, Lord, your word says. Yeah. No. That his word didn't say, you be stupid and I'll come and deliver you. Amen. You putting yourself in a mercy realm then, all right? All right, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Now, we don't really like that, but that's what he says I'm supposed to do. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect entire and what? Wanting nothing. Hustle the person next to you. Say, stay with him. All right, now here's we have to understand the reality of devastating positions, devastating situations. That's the reality of it. And not panic when they happen. Psalms 34 and 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Righteous folk are not exempt from trouble. You are not exempt from trouble.
Right.
So you got to get that in your mind. You got to get that. So I'm not going to panic when trouble comes. All right. So I'm not promised an exemption from trouble. All right. But he does say he will be with me. So even though I'm facing something I would rather not face, I have the conviction that I'm not in this by myself. Number two, trouble does not mean that I have sinned or I have offended my angel. Because I'm facing something I would rather not face, it does not mean I have sinned. It does not mean that I have offended my angel.
Right.
For a season, the devil has the ability to attack us.
Right. Yeah.
For a season, we are subject to the times. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I got to understand. I can't let the devil bombard my mind with all of these things that make me feel I'm a victim of God's been unfair to me.
Yeah, right.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
All right, so if I think I have offended my angel, easy to do. Repent.
Right.
Amen. That's all you do. Shut the devil's mouth. What do you mean, devil? See, the devil saying, you done sinned and you know all that. Well, the Bible says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So, boom, I go on in. Father, I just thank you. If I sin anyway, I confess that sin before you. I claim and receive right now your forgiveness.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. I'm ready to go now.
Right.
Number three, trouble is to be a light affliction that only lasts for a moment. Ooh. Everybody say it's just a light affliction. That only lasts for a moment. All right, now. Yeah. All right. Everybody say light affliction. That only lasts for a moment. Everybody say light affliction. Only lasts for a moment. You really believe that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Only it's a light affliction. Everybody say light affliction.
Light.
Now, if the Bible says, 2 Corinthians, I think it's 4. Yes. Ah, yes. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I know what he means. Where's me with that? It's a light affliction if I focus on these unseen things. In other words, the spirit realm.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Everybody say it becomes a light affliction. To the degree. I stay focused on the benefits, promises of the spirit realm. Yeah. Everybody say light affliction. Light. Yes. Yeah, so you can make it through the light affliction. So I got to get you ready. Everybody say, I'm getting ready. I got to be able to discover when I face some trouble. That's no time to panic. Yeah. It's time to understand I've been prepared for this. Yeah. All right? All right, so trouble is no time to panic and forget everything you've learned. And the way that you ensure that doesn't happen is through saturation. You need to listen to the Word of God on a regular basis when you're not in church.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. I told y'all about the guy who asked me one time, is listening to jazz bad? I said, no, but you're too broke. You need to be listening to the words, huh? Amen. So I'm just saying now, you gotta decide that I'm going to be more than a casual churchgoer. All right, go to Matthew chapter 12, because here's the key. I'm not just saying this. I'm trying to, see, When trouble come, I'm ready.
Right. Yeah.
I prepared for the moment.
Good.
Y'all hurry up, because I'm going a little bit over my time, but I got to, if I don't get all this out, I mean, y'all not going to be prepared. Uh-huh. All right, look there in verse 34. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For, here's the truth, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. What's in abundance in my spirit? Well, how I get in my spirit? I get in my spirit, Bible says, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in your heart. In my mouth and in my heart. I plant this word down in my heart by my saying the right things all the time. My God supplies all my needs. I am the heal, resisting sickness and disease. I have the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
Angels are encamped round about me to help me and deliver me. Seed of the righteous is delivered.
Yeah.
My children are covered by the blood of Jesus. Follow me? If I got that in abundance in my heart, when stuff happens, guess what's going to come out? The word going to come out. But if I don't have that in my heart, four-letter words going to come out. Whatever's in abundance is what's going to come out. All right. I'm just about finished now. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 10. My words are important. Under pressure, I don't break. Under pressure, we don't break. If I say under pressure, we don't break. Yeah. We don't forget it, what we've been taught, what we believe. Under pressure. All right. So we'll pick it up. Verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hand. And he said to me, this is an angel talking to Daniel. Oh, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. As the angel says, I'm here because of the words that you spoke. Now, when it comes to Daniel in the lion's den, the Bible accredits Daniel's faith for shutting the mouth of the lion. Now, Daniel said that in the situation, he says to the king, the Lord sent the angel to shut the lion's mouth. But the commentary over in Hebrews says that they shut the lion's mouth with their faith. They stopped the mouths of lions with their faith. So his faith is what did it. I want to get you to see this. In a time of trouble, that's when your faith is so important. Saying the right thing is vitally important. And I go to Hebrews chapter 10. Daniel chapter 3. Where did I tell y'all go? Yeah. You need to go to 3. Hurry. We're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That way I'm going to close with that. Yeah, I got to close. Hate to close, but I got to close. All right. Anybody get blessed?
Yes, sir.
All right. I just want to make sure you're getting blessed out of this. So when you go through something, I don't, if you got to cry, don't get to cry out quick and then get back in faith.
That's good.
All right. All right. Let's pick it up, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What happened? The king had erected a graven image, so everybody got to bow down to it. These boys said, we ain't bowing. Right. So he said, oh, I'll give you all another chance. And they said, listen, you don't have to. We're not careful. We don't need another chance. We're not going to bow. Watch this, what they said, all right? All right, verse 17. And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. That sounds like the word, don't it?
Yeah.
So they now the angels, up. Angels got to go now. Got to go. Why? That boy done said the word.
Yeah.
Them boys out in there talking the word. We got to go. All right. Now, this is not, he says, but if not, be it known unto thee. This is not a statement of unbelief.
Right.
They're saying, but if not, if you don't throw us in the fire. That's what they're saying. Not if God don't deliver us.
Right. Right.
But they're saying, if you don't throw us in the fire, because the context says, we're going to give you a chance.
Right.
And if you don't take advantage of this, we're gonna throw you in the fire. Daniel says, if you don't throw us in,
right. We
still not gonna bow.
Right. Right.
But what they gave voice to the word under pressure. Everybody say voice to the word under pressure. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, and the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody say real fire, real fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto him, said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Can I go do a commentary right here?
Go ahead, work it out.
See, there are times we wish we didn't have to go through.
Right.
And there are times we think that maybe God has failed us because we're in the fire.
Uh-huh.
Be assured.
Hey.
If he didn't stop you from going in, he didn't leave you.
Hey. Receive it. My God.
He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Angel showed up, took the heat out the fire. All right. Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains. Ooh, Lordy. King's council being gathered together, saw these men upon whom the bodies of the fire had no power, nor was the hair on their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. In other words, when you come through this, ain't gonna be no sign that you ever been through it.
Say it.
Look at the person that said, when I come through, there will be no sign that I ever been through anything. Hallelujah. Now, let me close. With this, we learn to rest. See, with this revelation, we learn how to rest in trouble. Not rest not doing anything. Resting knowing I've done what I am supposed to do, and God must do what he's supposed to do.
God, that's good.
So when the plane fell and at 13,000 feet, because I'm praying angels, you know, and then the Holy Spirit said, pray for the pilots. I started praying for the pilots. And then around 13,000 feet. So that means we fell 30,000 feet. Around 13,000 feet, they got the engines on. And the pilots were amazed. They told Terry, nothing wrong. We can't see anything wrong. And ask the bishop what we ought to do. Y'all want to land or go on home? I told him, let's go home. Watch it. And then I leaned my chair back and went to sleep. Can I get a witness? Is that what I did? Then I leaned my chair back and I went to sleep. Why? I'm resting.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no sense in me riding the rest of the way. Oh, I hope nothing don't happen. My God is able.
Hey.
So there comes a time when you demonstrate your confidence that your angels are on point. The faith is on point. You've done what you're supposed to do. You rest. This won't last long. This is a light affliction. I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. Everybody say it's time to rest. It's time. Come on, it's time to rest. You better tithe. It's time to rest. Your abundance is on the way. It's time to rest. You've been confessing the word. Your healing is about to manifest. It's time to rest. Everybody say, I'm resting because I got confidence in the plan. I'm counting on his power. I've considered God's perspective. I have a conviction on the principle. I have the courage of God's possibilities, and I am comforted in the process. Father, we thank you for this word. It has fallen on good ground. Therefore, it must produce fruit. In Jesus' name,
thank you, Father.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship the Lord right now. Just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank him for his goodness. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory. Thank you, Father. We receive this word. Receive that our angels are doing everything they are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. We decide to rest. Amen. Amen. Whatever your situation is, I just want you to rest in it. Just make a decision. You're going to rest in it. You've applied the word. If you need to repent first, go and repent. Get back on the word and rest in this thing. Amen. 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 Every need is met. In Jesus' name. Every need is met. Angels are ministering, talking to folk, who need to help me. Amen. Invading the dreams of others, putting me on their minds. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whatever is mine in the spirit realm, they are making transfer. Therefore, I'm resting. And if I'm going through something, it's a light affliction. And if you just declare, this is light, this is just light, this is light. It's not too hard for God. This is a light affliction. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, repeat after me. Dear God, know without Jesus I'm lost. I believe your word. If I ask you to save me, come into my heart, you will. Jesus, give you the throne of my life. Believe you died for my sins, was raised from the dead to validate everything you said. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Therefore, I thank you now for placing me in your family. Fill me with your spirit now and power so I can live a life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for saving me. Amen. Give the Lord a shout, won't you? And you may be seated. You may be seated. It's offering time.